Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you on this Erev Yom Kippur, is daf Memtet. And we were holding and trying to understand the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim about what exactly is the halacha of three chatzirot, each of which has an opening independently to Rishus HaRabim, and each has a door to the other chatzir. And we ended up saying that according to Rav, the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim is that according to Rabbi Shimon, everybody is allowed to carry, the middle can carry with A and B, with A and C, and A and C can carry in B. And the only problem is that A and C can't carry to each other. And according to the Chachamim, we're limited that A and C can carry into B, but B can't carry into A and C. That's Rav's approach. Shmuel's approach is that, on the contrary, it was Rabbi Shimon who was being matir, A carrying with B and C carrying with B, but B cannot carry into C, into A or C. And that was Rabbi Shimon. According to Chachamim, nobody can carry with anybody. And that was Shmuel's approach. And today we're up to the second line, in which we try to bring a raya, the way that Shmuel understood Rav Yehuda, as follows. So Tanya Kavasi, Rav Yehuda, is where we're up to. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Yehuda, we can actually see that Rav Yehuda is exactly the way that Shmuel explained him to be, from the following. I just have to find my place. Yeah. So Omer Rabbi Shimon, here the Braisa expands a little bit and says, L'maha davar domeh. So what do I say that this din of the case of the overlapping tchumim are similar? Shalosh chatzirot ha'ptuchot zo lezo, u'ptuchot rishut ha'rabim independently. And then the halacha is that if the erev u'shtayim im ha'emtzait, if A and C made an erev with B, so zeu mevi'a mitoch beita ve'ochelet, ve'zo mevi'a b'toch beita ve'ochelet. So A can bring something from their home and eat in B, and C can bring something from their home and eat and B, and then they can bring their food back, umachzer, if anything's left over, they can go home to A or go home to C, and that's about it. It doesn't say that, obviously you can't go from A to C, but it also only mentions that the outside people are allowed to eat with the inside. Whereas the Chachomim say, Shloshtam Asurot. So since it doesn't say anything about the people in the middle, in B, carrying to A or to C, that proves that actually we understand Rabbi Shimon the way that Shmuel understood Rabbi Shimon, according to which Rabbi Shimon is saying exactly what Rav said that the Chachomim are saying. And he was only being matir one direction. So you could only go from A to B, or C to B, and back, of course. But B cannot carry their things into A or C. Now, as the Shmuel Atayme, the truth is that this svara of Shmuel in Rabbi Shimon is very consistent, because there's an interesting similarity to yet another case where we have someone in the middle who's got a problem with people on two sides. So the simple case is, of course, chatzerot. That could be ma'ariv with chatzerot on either side. But we have an equivalent situation where you have a chatzer in the middle, and this chatzer has a doorway to a mavui on one side and a mavui on the other side. Rather a common kind of situation in which this chatzer is between two small streets, and it opens up into either of those streets, and those streets lead to the avenues. So now the question is over there, what is the din about the mevo'ot, the shituf mevo'ot, with this chatzer? And Shmuel says that in a case where you've got a chatzer which is right between two mevo'ot, and the doors open to each one of these mevo'ot, if that chatzer made an eruv, meaning made a shituf mevo'ot, with each of those mevo'ot, then they're not allowed to carry in either. Asura im shnehem, exactly as Shmuel said about the three chatzerot, that B is unable to carry into either A or C because of the fact that wherever they go, they're actually being limited by the fact that they had made an erev on the other side, which prevents them from going to the place carrying to the place where they made the other Erev with, and vice versa. Same thing is true over here. You cannot be a one Rishus that is connected to two other Rishuyot with the process of Erev or Mavoy, according to the way Shmuel understands Rabbi Shimon, which is similar to the way Rav understood the Chachomim. One Rishus cannot make itself part of two Rishuyot. That's the idea. So then the same thing would be true over here. This Chatzar cannot carry into any of those Mevo'ot. And now, I mean, it's also, I mean, once we are talking about this din, I mean, this basically ends our concept. We see that actually Shmuel is consistent. What would be the din? I mean, once we already mentioned it, we'd like to know what the halacha would be in more detail. So the halacha is like this. The Sir Shmuel paskins that if the chotzer did not make an eruv, meaning a shutav, with either of these two mevo'ot, so then there's a big problem. Because then none of the other chatzerot on either side would be allowed to use their mavoi. Because remember, the relationship of a chatzer to a mavoi is the equivalent relationship of a personal house to a chatzer. And in the same way that if one of the homes does not join in the Erev, the entire area becomes usher, the commons becomes usher to carry from any home. So too, if one of the chatzerot does not join in the mavui, so then that mavui becomes usher to all of the chatzerot that are opening into the mavui. Same exact situation. And therefore, since this chatzer cannot carry into either and has openings to both, it now makes both of those mivo'ot, it's a disaster, because now nobody can carry. Because by not making an Erev, they make the Erev, again, I'm using the word Erev the way the Gemara uses it here, but you're supposed to adjust it in your mind for the concept of Shituf Mivo'ot. I mean, it's basically the same idea as an Erev, right? So then that would mean that there would be a problem in carrying. Okay, we're going to see Lamaisa later on. This is not so partial. Because if the people in that chatzar actually did an Erev for themselves in the chatzar, then they will not aser the others from carrying. But that's something for the future. Right now, let's keep things simple. So it would aser on both. Now, there is, however, a way out of this pickle. The way out of this pickle is to define what the norm is in terms of entry and exit to this chatzar. In other words, if theoretically it has an exit to both streets, but in point of fact, the major usage is normally only through one of these streets. Very few people, and only on rare occasions where they got a delivery on that side or something, will they ever open up the door to the other mavui. So then the halacha is like this. If one of them is the standard door, Be'echad regila or be'echad eina regila. So then the only mavui that becomes usher is the one that is typically used, because that's the equivalent of the chatzer for the equivalent of the bayit, so to speak. So the chatzer that is not going to be able to carry asers only on the people in that mavui. But the people in the other mavui say, we're not really part of this chatzer. This chatzer never comes into our mavui, hardly ever. So it shouldn't bother us. And that indeed is the din. That Zosha Einarigilabo, even though, look, theoretically, yes, it could go there and so on, but in terms of viewing it as a commons, and commons means that there has to be some kind of sense of connectedness. We don't have that sense of connectedness because they rarely come here. And therefore, just as we saw, one of the principles of all of this is that the concept of diurin is only people that are indigenous in the diur. Even if the whole Rishus HaRabim, remember, even on one sheet, even if the whole Rishus HaRabim is passing through, they're not indigenous and they don't make it into a commons. The same thing is true when it comes to the relationship of Chatzar and Mavui. If they are not indigenous, which over here, because they rarely use it, they're not viewed as indigenous, so then we can be Mako and view them as visitors that are going through. Visitors never Aser. Only permanent Diyur Asers in this whole Takana of Eruvin. Omar Rabba Barvuna, I also want to point out another fascinating issue in this case that we're speaking about, the Shmuel, that if the Chatzar did make an Erev with the street that it doesn't usually go out to, so then you would say, oh my gosh, that's a real mess, because I mean, then they were not matir the people that they normally go out to that they are considered to be diurim with, right? So then you should know that that's not true. Because the very fact that they went ahead and made a shituf with the other means that for that Shabbat, they were miyached the other one as the place in which they're going to be going in and out. And they were misalik their rishus from the one that they normally go into. So by making the shituf mevaot with the non-ragil, they actually end up being matir, the other people in the ragil, and they don't have a problem with this chatzar. And this chatzar, in fact, doesn't carry through that side and carries through the side with which it made an Eruv. So that's as if they went ahead and they announced, we are not using our normal door for the Shabbos. Another idea that Rabbi Bar Avuna says, here he says it in the name of Shmuel, that in the event that the Mavui Irva harigila la'atzmo. Suppose the standard entry, all the other people in that mavui actually went and made an Erev. And now the fact that this one chatzar with the doorway to the other mavui did not make an Erev is messing them up. So in such a case, the mavui that is not the standard mavui, what happened in that mavui is that the other people in that mavui did not make a sheet of mivo'ot. So now consider the situation. The people in the non-standard exit are messed up anyway because they didn't make a sheet of mivo'ot that week. The people in the one that is the standard door, the regilah door, would be in good shape if only we could get rid of the people in this chatzar and make them use the other door, right? So therefore, the people in the middle have nothing to lose if we tell them, okay, gentlemen, for this week, the Rabbanon are koveya that your door to a mavoi is your not normal door. You don't have a shituf with them, but you are misalik yourselves because of a simple halacha, kofin al midat sedon. When you don't get anything out of a situation, and somebody else does, and you refuse to accommodate that other person, then that is basically what Sodom is like. I don't want to do it just because I don't want to do it. I don't care, but you're saving me millions of dollars. You're not losing a penny. I don't care. I don't want to do you a favor. That's called Midat Sodom. So that halacha is koveya, the actual din, that because of the kfiya, a bezdin will force you to do what needs to be done when it's no sweat off your back in order to help the other person. So in this case, being miyached, the non-regila door to this chatzar actually will allow all of the people in the mavui that did the right thing and they went ahead and they made a sheet of bevo'ot and you didn't participate. The other door, anyway, you're not messing anybody up because anyway they can't carry because they didn't make a sheet of bevo'ot. So therefore, we give you that din. The halacha is dochin ota etzel she'en regilabo. The halacha is koveya, that the door that chatzar has for this week is the non-standard door, and because of that, the other people in the chatzerot that did make a sheet of bevo'ot don't have a problem with the fact that this particular chatzar didn't join up, because anyway, they can't carry through that door this week. This is a standard result of the normal halacha, that the halacha will insist that we follow the din as if you do what is best for all involved, if it doesn't hurt you in any way. And therefore, we essentially take away your right for it to be able to use it. Okay. The question is, halacha l'maisa, whether this is a theory or this is a reality. Now, that's a machlokas rishonim. In other words, the fact that it's kofer amida stom in halacha to define which one is their door has two possibilities. The halacha defines it as their door and they cannot therefore carry through the other door. So it's removing their right to carry from their standard door that makes them basically stuck in their chatzar, not being able to carry out at all. Or is it basically a conceptual idea So in other words, it's not that we literally take away their right to use their regular door. It's just that in that door, they're considered to be guests and not indigenous. So obviously you can see the question over here, because we had the same question when it came to somebody that was going to be mevatel the rishus of his home and make himself into a guest in the chatzar, even though he was still there. You remember that same discussion? If somebody is going to be mevatel rishus, is he mevatel the rishus of his house, or is he only mevatel rishus of the chatzar? But the bittel of the rishus of his house doesn't really make sense. And therefore, no one can carry from that house into the chatzar. This has analogous issues with that question, except that over here, because of the lighter level of interrelationship between chatzar and mavoi, so there are rishonim that hold that over here, for sure, they're still allowed to carry into the mavoi. It's just that, technically speaking, we define this as not being their main door. Okay. Anyway, obviously, halacha l'maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah paskens l'chumra over here, and you literally can't carry out into that other mavoi. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Other issues that Shmuel spoke about in terms of our understanding the nature of Eruv, including how it works and the implications of how it works for very particular situations. Somebody who is makpid on the Eruv, once we're talking about Midas Adom, I'm going to go all the way. Okay, I'm putting in my piece into the Eruv, but I don't want anybody else to enjoy that Erev. Okay. I want to eat that piece. That bread is special. I made it in my own bread machine, and it sure is not going to go and be part of everybody else's bread. Okay. So then that guy, essentially, he wants an Erev, but he doesn't want it to be Mu'urav, right? That's what it boils down to. Says Shmuel, that is not called an Erev. Because look at the word, buddy. Look at the word. An Eruv has implications. The language has implications. Note that the word Eruv is the same as the word for sweet, right? So it's something that is a rave, as Rashi points out. Eruv means that everybody is happy with everybody else. So when we talk about one big happy family, that comes from the word Eruv, you see? Nobody ever talked. Where do you ever see one big happy family? The only place you really see one big happy family is in Erevin. So if this guy is going to be makbid on sharing his bread, he sure ain't happy family. He may be one big family, but no, this guy is no fun to have at your table. So in that case, it's not an Erev, because the name of the takana is Erev, unquote. You got it? So therefore, he just wrecked the Erev by being such a nasty guy. Reb Chanina says, it's an Erev, it's just a nasty Erev. So, and still technically, it's one family, and it works as an Erev. Ela shenikra mi'anshei Vardina. It's, people in Vardina were generally nasty, so when you wanted to call something nasty, you called it a Vardina-style Erev, you know. So, okay, fine. So, doesn't mean you can't make an Erev in Vardina. It's just not absolutely the best. We're not getting any smiles from Gavi this morning, which is not a good sign on Erev Yom Kippur. And I'm worried that maybe he's not really paying close attention. Omer Rav Yehuda.
The Rebbe's not eating or drinking.
Ah, that's bad. Now that is a very good point for Erev Yom Kippur. You have to keep drinking at least. Yeah. Okay, one moment here. How about if I promise Gavi some boost? Would that make him happy? Ah, okay, so then I now know the wedding present that Gavi needs. Okay, great. All right. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Another halacha is like this. And according to Shmuel, if somebody puts his Erev into a separate container, so then he's not really mu'urav with everybody else. So it's the same reason. Look, it's called an Erev. This guy is sticking, he's like sticking to himself, and he's not part of the Erev, so it wouldn't be kosher. Says the Gemara, what? That doesn't make any sense. That would mean that Shmuel's going to leave the Beit Shammai? Come on, Beit Shammai. Because after all, in the Braita that we had before, we said, Chamisha shegavu et Eruvan. So five people make an Erev together, right? They have bread from everybody, and they put it into two separate kelim. So as we talked about before, Beit Shammai says if it's in two separate kelim, it's not an Erev. It's Beit Hillel who says that it's an Erev. So Shmuel was saying if it's in a different container, he basically is only going a little bit of Beit Shammai, which is impossible. No, says the Gemara, it's a tremendous difference. Afilu tema Beit Hillel. The machlokas over there between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai was not talking about a case where somebody put his erev in a separate container in order to keep it separate from others. It's because they simply got so much food that it overflowed one container, and they put the rest in the other container. So over there, Beit Hillel said, look, what's important is the home, not the container. As long as it's in the same home, it's fine. And there it was talking about the malya and the mana. They filled it up to the top and they still had more, so they needed to take out another container. But over here, where the guy on purpose is miflag palge, there even Beit Hillel is motive because of the terminology. Erev means Erev. This guy's not a happy guy. So wait a minute. That's probably where they get happy camper from also, because the din of an Erev is basically that you're camping out in the other guy's reshuts. Okay, so this is not one happy camper, and because of that, it's not a kosher Erev Tainas Shmuel, simply by virtue of the name. So why do I need both of these Piskei Halachas? Tzrichet. Di Ashmin and Hasam. Let's say he would have told us only about the guy who wants to keep his bread for himself. I would say, all right, over there, he said, I don't want to share my bread. Masha Einkein, over here, where he just put it into a different kli. He didn't say anything about not sharing. So maybe that is not enough to take away the sense of the happiness of the family here. On the other hand, if you tell me a case where he put it into a separate kli, I mean, there you actually physically separated yourself from everybody else. And so if I, just looking at it, I say, wait a minute, this is an Erev? How come this guy is in a separate container? So Ashimash, ain't getting a case where, look, when I look at the Erev, everybody's got his bread and the same thing. I mean, the fact that his piece of bread, he said, I want that bread for myself. Okay, but okay, there's no physical distinction. So maybe I would think that that's what is koveya. Therefore, Shmuel said, both of these din. Amalei Rebbe Abba or Rebbe Yehuda, and they were standing, actually, in Rebbe Zakkai's wine press at the time that they discussed this. And he asked him, Mi omar Shmuel hacholeket eruvo eno eruv? You're telling me that Shmuel holds that putting it into a separate kli means it's not an eruv? But I thought Shmuel said that the house that the Erev is being deposited into. Remember that in an Erev Chatzeros, we put everybody's bread in one home. And the din is that that home, according to Shmuel, the guy who owns that home doesn't have to join the Erev. Why wouldn't he have to join the Erev? I mean, I'm assuming, my timer, why doesn't he have to put it on his own bread? Because, I mean, we're assuming, of course, that there's bread in the house somewhere. And despite the fact that it's not in the same container, that would be fine. And it's as if it was put in the containers because it's in the same house. So why isn't that true over here? That basically, once I put it into the house makes it all one anyway. So then the logic of saying that he separated out by putting it into container does not apply, right? So then it's keman demana chachadami. We look at the bread in the house, wherever it is. It's in the kitchen, it's in the oven, I don't care. But the bottom line is there's certainly going to be bread for Shabbos in this house, and therefore it's included, right? So then why isn't that true over here? If the guy sent bread and the bread is still in an oven or the bread is still in a separate container, it's given to Manak Basala. Look, it's in a basket in the house, a different basket, big deal. So it's the equivalent of all being together. Command to Manak Hachadami. That means that Shmuel is not consistent with these two halachas. Omar Leh said, Rabbi Yehuda, no, you completely misunderstand the halacha. The logic that you provided for the halacha is simply not true. The din is that the owner of the house, even if he doesn't have a scrap of bread in his house, he didn't have anything that he could have added that we should say is automatically considered to be in the same container, it would still be perfectly okay. Why? Because the whole point of the Erev, all the other people that sent their pot, when they do that, they are formally, so to speak, presenting themselves as dayarim, even though they aren't really dayarim. I mean, but because they put a little bit of bread, so that means that we accept that as a formal statement of, I am a member of this household. So don't you understand that the guy who's really living in the house is a lot better off than a guy who made a formal statement that I'm living in this house? He's really living in this house. So if we're going to accept a formal statement, the kulu hochadire, everybody lives here. So then Koshikin, the guy himself who really does live there, why would he have to add anything to the Erev? It would be sort of silly, wouldn't it? That was the point. It's not because, again, you're focusing on the concept of the Erev as if it's the bread in the Erev that is the Erev. And we made that same question, the same mistake we made when we were talking about the Erev Etrumim. People got over-focused on the food, whereas in reality, it turned out that the food was only there as a way to make a formal Erev that Etrumim that isn't really the fundamental Erev Etrumim, which would be where you're standing there. So actually, the use of the food for the Erev is a secondary, an extension of the concept of Erev. Ultimately, that's the case over here. Don't you understand how foolish it is to say that you would actually need to put in food if you live in the house where the whole purpose of the food is only to make some type of formal technical concept that I live in the house? You know, I mean, so you lost track of how this works. So therefore, there was no question at all. Now, the question is, how does it work, actually? In other words, is it simply putting the food in the house, the formality of my living in a place where I have my food? And look, let's be honest. I mean, people, when they think about Shabbos, it really is very focused on food. So, you know, where my cholent is, where my stomach is where my heart follows. So that would be one way of looking at it. And then it would just be like a formal indication that this is the place that I look to as my Shabbos home. But the other way of understanding it, and this is what Shmuel claims, that an Erev actually works because of a kinyan. So what happens is that when I give something of value to this Bala Bayit, what I'm doing is I'm buying a share with that of his home to allow me to use his home. And because of that, when everybody buys a share in that home, and then it would be obviously why he doesn't have to put in bread. According to Shmuel, it's a joke. Who's he buying it from? Himself? Taking it out of one pocket, put it in the other pocket? So by doing that, basically what I say is, okay, we are all owners of one rishus. I also have a private bedroom. That's my own home. You have your private bedroom. That's your own home. But essentially, this chutzer is the chutzer of a jointly owned home with separate bedrooms. Okay, so what's the problem? Ask the Gemara, now, wait a minute. So then why do we need food for an Erev? Why can't we just give a nickel, right? Or a ma'ah in those terms. A ma'ah was the smallest coin that was made out of kesef. Okay, so it's a very small coin. So let me give you a nickel and say, I want to be kona the rights of a nickel to live in your home for Shabbos. Why do I have this whole jazz with the bread and everything else? Says the Gemara, you're right. Theoretically, the takona of Erev would work perfectly well by using a nickel. The thing is that since the Chachamim wanted to make a takona over here, if they would have been koveya the takona, is to be made with cash, it's very possible that people won't have cash. Everybody before Shabbos will have bread, but not necessarily people have cash to be able to like buy something from someone else. I mean, you know, I got to run to a cash machine, and what if the ATM is broken? So because of that, the Chachamim were not koveya the chiyav except something that is mitzuya ba'arvei Shabbatot, and a ma'a is not mitzuya ba'arvei Shabbatot. Okay, I understand, but I mean, so that's why they would make that the kvias. But I mean, according to this, what you're saying is that if I want to, I could go ahead and use a nickel instead of bread. But that's not the case. I mean, according to the way you're explaining it, if you went ahead and you bought a nickel, a thing with a nickel, so you know that old song, right? You know, my mommy gave me a nickel to buy a pickle, but I didn't buy a pickle. I used it for an Erev. And that was exactly, according to that, was an indication of why I would not be Zocha. According to him, I should be Zocha. Says the Gemara, you would be Zocha. The truth is, but the Chachamim made a Gezerah. Because since people take cash very seriously. So if some people start going around using cash for an Erev, we would rapidly forget that the takana was essentially to share food. And then if people wouldn't have a nickel and somebody brings in a real Erev, people will say, what, are you crazy? Bring a piece of bread for an Erev? Where's your nickel? And he doesn't have a nickel. So they wouldn't be able to make an Erev. So lo'asi l'vuvi b'pat. And therefore, the ati Erev l'kalkula, the whole concept of Erev will become ruined. So they disallowed nickels. Rabbi Omar. Rabbi says, what are you talking about buying things? You're not buying things with an Erev. The point of an Erev is that your Shabbos is where your cholent is. That's the point. And therefore, since Erev is Mishum Dira, it gives you a sense, at least formally and symbolically, that this is your home. But you don't really own anything in this guy's home. Then what's the nafkamina between? Tremendous nafkaminas, okay? Ikabenayo Kli, first of all, let's say you didn't use a nickel, but you used a glass, a cup, a plate, a fork, whatever. So, I mean, basically, if you hold that it's Mishum Kinyan, and there's no gezeira that the Chachami made on cash, which would prevent you from using cash, so then it would be a good Erev. You actually send a container instead of food. According to Shmuel, what's the problem? I could be kona with shove kesef, so I'm kona with shove kesef. Fine. So that would be one distinction. How about if you put in an Erev with bread, but the bread wasn't worth a shava pruta? So if it's less than a shava pruta, it can't make a kinyan. And according to Shmuel, you need to have a kinyan. According to the way that Rabbi understood it, you don't need a kinyan. You just need a place where your cholent is. So fine. And if your cholent isn't worth a shava pruta, so therefore your heart's not with your cholent, makes no difference how much it's worth. So according to him, it would be fine, even though it's less than a shava pruta. Another nafkamina would be, how about if you used a katan to go ahead to make the Erev? So if you're telling me that the din is kinyan, then you can't make your shliach a katan, because a katan doesn't have the ability to be kaina and makna, and therefore he can't be your shliach either. So you wouldn't be able to take the Eruvim from everybody and put them into the joint rishus. Omale Abaya L'Rabba, look, I got problems with your pshat and with Shmuel's pshat. And I'll tell you, it's one brisa, and it seems to be saying that both of you are wrong. Because the brisa says like this. Five people collect their Eruv, this is the third time we've had this, and one person decides to go and make an Eruv in another side to join with yet another chatzar that was open to them, into this big Erev. So if they've got somebody who they're all agreed that this should be done, but they don't need to all go there, even if one person from the first five goes ahead and he brings some bread into that other chatzar, right, that would be enough. And then the chatzeres, say we've got all the people in one chatzar are five, and they want to join up with the next chatzar to which they have a door. So you can have one person joining that Erev, and then everybody's automatically joined. Now, here's my problem. I mean, who knew the Kokani? He's the only one that is making the Kenyan. I mean, if we're talking about a Kenyan, okay, so how can Shmuel view his Kenyan as being sufficient to make the two chatzeres one? And it's also true according to Rabba. I mean, if you're telling me that it's Mishum Diyur, so then how can one person make a concept of Diyur for everybody? We're missing something. It seems to be more of a formal integration that Chazal instituted with the presence of food, and it does not really involve either your feelings about your cholent, which over here are not shared by the other four people, or your actual ability to call it your own home because you bought it. That doesn't seem to be a factor here. Omar Leh, said Rabbi, you're missing a very simple thing. It's not a problem. Not a problem for me. Not a problem for Shmuel, for the same reason. If everybody is agreed that they should be joining with this other chatzar, so then we view it as if this one person is acting as a shliach on behalf of everyone. It's part of the kulas of Erev that we don't need everybody to go ahead and to join. Omar Rabba, Omar Chama Baguria, Omar Rav, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and that is, again, according to Rav, obviously, that would mean that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and A and C can carry to B, and B can carry from A to C, because that's the way Rav understood Rav Shimon, right? So he's pasking halacha lamaisa like that kula in Rabbi Shimon. The only ones that have a problem is A carrying to C. And now we have a very special moment with our capitan, assuming that we can get hold of him. Capitan, capitan, where art thou? Wow, I see you've been practicing to be chazan for Yom Kippur. That was almost good. That was almost good enough for Ne'ila. Woo. Okay. Excellent. Okay, so now we get to that Mishnah that we've discussed on numerous occasions, which is the teleportation Eruv, and exactly how that works. And here's where also we discuss whether the fundamental Eruv is the pot or the fundamental Eruv is getting there. So here we are. A guy is on the road. He wants to get home in time to be able to join the Soda for Shabbos, but he did not get there quickly enough. He's within 4,000 amas of his home. But heck, if Shabbos comes right now, he's only going to be able to walk 2,000 amas, then he's going to be stuck outside of the tchum of his home. So what happens? Misha baba derech v'chashchala. So now, the problem is like this. As you well know, you can only actually apparate if you know precisely where you're apparating to, right? I mean, as everybody knows, you can't just theoretically talk about a case to apparate to. So over here, indeed, the halacha is that you need to apparate. You can't just say, I'm going there. Where is there? So if you personally are familiar with a particular location, so you know where there's a certain tree or there's a certain wall around the chotzer, which is within 2,000 amas, so then you can, in fact, apparate to that place and put your Erev there, so to speak, by being there Erev Shabbos. And you can say, Shvitati Tachtav, that is where I want my Malkum Shvisa to be. And then it would be as if you put an Erev there. And it's like being Ma'ariv Baraglecha. Now, if he said that I just want it somewhere there, Tachtav. Now, assuming that Tachtav is not well defined, how specific must your destination be for apparition purposes? And here we run into a different problem. Because if this tree, let's imagine we've got a tree that's got very broad branches. There's like 30, 40 feet under the tree that are shaded. And the guy says, I want my Mokum Shvisa under that tree. It could be anywhere under that tree. And if he says along this wall, and that wall is 40 feet long, so then it would be the same thing. I want it along that wall, but where along that wall? So, I mean, if the issue is that you've got to get 2,000 amas from that particular point to your home, so then lo amar klum, you didn't say anything because you didn't define the area, which is a 4x4 area, right? That's your arba amas. Where are my arba amas? Instead, you gave us this long kind of 50x50 amas description, which is not a description. So you don't have a mokum shvisa. But if you said to Farish, I am choosing a mokum shvisa right at the trunk of the tree, or right at the right-hand corner of the wall as it meets such and such a field or whatever, right? So then that's fine. And then it's a good Mokum Shvisa, and you can walk from that point on, from where you currently are, if that's 2,000 amas away, walk to those 2,000 amas, and then walk another 2,000 amas, which gets you home. Which means that for all intents and purposes, you can walk up to 4,000 amas from the beginning of Shabbos if you know where a place is. But what if you don't? Okay. What if you don't know where to apparate to? Or you don't have an operating license, which means you're not a baki b'halacha. So you simply didn't know how to do this. And then you said, if, assuming that he said, I want my mokum shvisa for Shabbos to be where I am, and you thought that was your only option, okay. So then you have a mokum shvisa of 2,000 amas. You're not going to be able to get home, but at least you can walk around 2,000 amas in every direction, which is normally the halacha of someone who has a mokum shvisa in the middle of nowhere. By the way, how exactly are those 2,000 amas shaped? Well, Rabbi Hanina ben Atigna says they are shaped with a circle. So in other words, you stand here and you measure 2,000 amos. This is a circle with a diameter, essentially a 4,000 amos. The radius extends in all directions from where you're standing. So says Rabbi Hanina ben Atikas. The Chachamim say, no, it's actually a square. So it's a square of 4,000 amos on every side. But where is that square? Well, the square is wherever you want it. So because of that, essentially, you can walk the full diagonal, right? Because if you put the square on that side and you're facing the direction that you want to walk along the diagonal of the square, so it turns out that your 2,000 amas actually, la halacha, allows you to multiply that by 1.4. So you get 800 extra amas wherever it is that you would be going. Or, and this is the way we actually paskin, it's not that you get the square in every direction. The square that we make for the Dinim of Shabbos is always drawn precisely north, east, south, west. And then you, depending on where you're going, let's say you're going northwest, then you get the extra 800 amas. But if you're going directly due east, then you would not get anything extra. And this, as we'll see, is the actual way that we work out the Dinim of all of these cases of Trum around the city and how we are Merabea, the city, which we're going to be getting to later. And basically, this is what is meant, Zohi Sha'amru, when the Chachomim say, an Oni can use his feet to make an Erev and he doesn't need any kind of food. So over here, since this guy is basically on the road, he's an Oni. He does not have any kind of food. Omer Rabbi Meir, yep. Ono en lono elani. This is a very special dispensation. Rabbi Yehuda says, on the contrary, this is the main way of making an Erev, you know? Echad ani ve'echad ashir. The only point where why did the Chachamim say you make an Erev? Again, back to Erev Tchumim, remember. Why did the Erev say that you make a Tchumim with food? To make it easy on the ashir. He doesn't want to have to schlep out there and walk to the place where he's going. So for him, he simply makes a shliach to bring out the food, and he gives him a couple of the shkolim, and everything is fine. So over there, this way, he saves the tircha shelo yetzei via rev beraglav, and that gives us a whole new insight into the nature of Erev. Now, when we said that a guy who said somewhere under the tree, and he didn't define where under the tree, somewhere along the wall, it says lo amar klum. What does lo amar klum mean? So Rav says he said nothing, meaning this guy is in big trouble because he cannot go anywhere since he did not make himself a mokum shvisa there under the tree because he didn't define it. And he didn't make a mokum shvisa over here because he specifically said, my mokum shvisa is not here. So now this guy does not have a mokum shvisa at all. So he cannot go even to the area under the tree, and therefore he's like a person who was Yotze Chutzotrum, or is a person who wasn't Kena Mokum Shvisa, and he's stuck to Arba Amos. He can't, basically, he can't go anywhere. Shmuel says, no, that doesn't mean that. It's Lo Amar Klum LeBeito. The idea that you have to define the area is not a din in operating at all. It's simply the question of leaving us up in the air, excuse the pun, it's leaving us up in the air in terms of figuring out in which direction he could go to his house. So, I mean, look, it would only be apropos to a particular case. Let's imagine that a guy wants to get to his home, which is if he gets to a position that is all the way at the northern side of this tree's shade, then he will be within 2,000 amas of his home. But if he makes it on the southern side of the shade, then he's going to be missing the additional 30 feet to get to his house. And he'll be stuck outside and he'll be waving to everybody, I'm back," but there's nothing to do because he didn't get into a makom surrounded by mechitzas at that time. So that's our problem. That's where we can say lo amar klum. Because basically, he can certainly go to the area underneath the Ilan, because he said that's where he wants his makom shvisa, and that's within 2,000 amas. But since he didn't say where he wants to go, so then naaseh tachtav shel ha'ilan chamar gamal. The classic case of the donkey driver who's also driving a camel, and in one case he's being pulled in one direction because he's supposed to be behind, the other case he's pulled the other direction because he's supposed to be in front, and therefore he's always going to be in trouble. Because if he wants to measure his tchum from the northern side in order to get home, which is within 2,000 amas of the far north of the tree's shade, so then we say, no, sir, I'm sorry, but, it could be we have to measure from the south, because you didn't say. If he wants to measure from the south to see how far he could travel from the south, we say, nah, you didn't define that. I mean, maybe actually your tchum is for the north. So then that would mean that we have to subtract the 30 feet or however long, however wide the shade is of the tree from your 2,000 amas, and you are not going to be able to travel.